KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 3 minutes after 8, we have a mostly sunny sky, 72 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be sunny here today with a high of 99. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. In the news of this hour, discarded smoking materials are believed to have been the cause of a fire in Atlantic Tuesday afternoon that caused extensive damage to a home on Front Street. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese told KJAN News the call from the residents owned by Bev Carroll and Shane Davis at 511 Front Street came in at around 3:30 p.m. The chief said Shane received a call from his children who were in the home along with a young friend about smoke coming from a closet. The children, ages 12, 8, and 5, attempted to fight the fire but couldn't. They escaped the home safely. Davis arrived at the house and attempted to gain access to the home, but he couldn't. McNeese said the man eventually broke out a window and tried to use a garden hose to reach the flames. Atlantic firefighters arrived and were able to get the fire knocked down and the house ventilated within about 30 to 45 minutes. McNeese said he doesn't know if the kids had been smoking in the house, and they denied doing so, but there was evidence of discarded smoking materials in the closet. The home sustained extensive fire damage in the closet area. The rest of the residents had extensive smoke damage. No injuries were reported in association with the fire or the attempts to fight it. News time is 8:04.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Atlantic City Council will act this evening on a resolution awarding a bid for the reconstruction of the Sunnyside tennis courts. The move will follow a public hearing on the plans and specifications for the project and approval of those matters. Bids for the project were due into the city clerk's office by the close of business on Tuesday. Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring has been working on the project and is set to present the plans and specs as prepared by Snyder & Associates engineers. The plans and specifications reflect the design requirements of the U.S. Tennis Association so that the project can receive a $50,000 grant. The project is expected to cost around $241,000. City Administrator Doug Harris had said the tennis reconstruction project will be paid for with $88,000 in 2012 bond proceeds, $65,000 in grants from the USDA and Iowa Western Community College, along with two separate payments of $44,000 each from the Atlantic Community School District. In other business, the council tonight will hold the first reading of an ordinance amending the Code of Ordinances by adding a new chapter entitled Illegal Dumping. Cass County Landfill Director Wendy Whitrock has asked the county and cities to adopt the ordinance so there could be a consistent rules and enforcement countywide. The council will also hold the first reading of an ordinance amending the city code by adopting a section entitled Private Wells, as recommended by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources and the city's consulting engineers. That ordinance would prohibit private water wells, except for closed-loop systems, within 1,000 feet of so-called high-risk sites. It would still permit the use of closed-loop geothermal and heat pump wells, however, because those systems prevent human exposure to the water. And the council this evening will act on appointments to various boards and commissions, as suggested by Mayor Dave Jones. They include Mary Ward and Katrina Sontag to the Board of Adjustment, James Behrens to the Planning and Zoning Commission, Raleigh Lansness to the Community Promotion Commission, Michelle Saluk and Steve Teague to the Cable TV Commission, and Lynn Headley, Sid Winchell, and Carolyn Hansen to the Library Board. The Atlantic City Council meeting begins at 5:30. Officials say the shift away from round-the-clock institutional care for people with disabilities has led to layoffs at the largest employer in the town of Woodward in Dallas County. 27 jobs at the Woodward Resource Center were eliminated Tuesday. Roger Munns, a spokesman for the state agency that manages the facility, says that adjusts staffing levels to the reduced number of disabled residents.
Both of our facilities at Woodward and Glenwood have worked very hard, vigorously, to try to find community and or home-based placements for people with disabilities. And we've been very successful, averaging about a dozen new placements every year at from both places. As a result of this, budgets and staff have been reduced.
In the past 5 years, there's been a 25% reduction in the number of full-time residents in the Woodward facility.
There are fewer people to care for, and therefore, obviously, you need fewer staff.
On Monday, nearly 700 people were employed to care for 181 disabled residents. A total of 27 staff positions were eliminated Tuesday, but some union workers who got layoff notices will be able to take the position of an employee in a similar job who has less seniority. As the number of Woodward residents declined in recent years, layoffs had been avoided through staff turnover.
Normal attrition, people leaving for other positions, but there wasn't very much turnover at Woodward. There are very few people who left during the incentive for retirement a couple of years ago. And as a result, there are more people than the budget can support.
The Glenwood Resource Center in southwest Iowa is the permanent home for 263 disabled residents. Managers of that facility say they'll be able to manage reduced budgets without layoffs this year. The drought affecting Midwest and Plains states has put a further drag on the regional economy. A report released this morning says July's Mid-America Business Conditions Index plunged below growth neutral for the first time since 2008. The index hit 48.7 as compared with 57.2 in June. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says the drought has already harmed ethanol and food processors in the region. The survey of business leaders and supply managers uses a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Any score above 50 suggests growth, while a score below 50 suggests decline for that factor. The survey covers Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Dakota. Agriculture Deputy Undersecretary for Rural Development Doug O'Brien on Tuesday announced the selection of projects in Iowa for loans and grants that will support job creation efforts, business development, and strengthen economic growth in rural communities across the state. Among the five projects receiving funds is the Harrison County Rural Electric Cooperative, which will use a $344,000 loan to construct a 10,000-square-foot central warehouse facility for Gratto Holdings Incorporated. The new warehouse will consolidate the company's operations. O'Brien made the announcement in Clarinda during a two-day tour in Iowa. The trip began with a groundbreaking ceremony at the Manning Regional Health Care Center in Manning. USDA Rural Development is providing a $21 million loan to assist with the construction of a hospital. Following the ceremony, O'Brien toured the new Clarinda Regional Health Center in Clarinda. The health center recently received an $18.9 million USDA loan to help with construction costs. Funding is being provided through the USDA's Rural Economic Development Loan and Grant Program, which provides zero-interest loans to local utilities, which they in turn pass through to local businesses, who are the ultimate recipients, for projects that will create and retain employment in rural areas. With yesterday's announcement, the USDA said it is investing nearly $2.5 million to spur economic growth. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, a private survey says American businesses kept hiring at a modest pace in July. That suggests the job market could be improving after three sluggish months. Payroll provider ADP says businesses added 163,000 jobs last month. That's slightly below a revised total of 172,000 jobs it reported for June. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says Iran should listen up if it's trying to develop a nuclear weapon. After meeting with his Israeli counterpart, Panetta said Iran faces the possibility of U.S. military action if it doesn't negotiate acceptable limits on its nuclear program. But Panetta says every measure short of military action must be exhausted first. And former Arkansas Governor and Baptist Minister Mike Huckabee has declared today Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, after the chicken chain president was criticized for making comments against gay marriage. Dan Cathy said he backs the, quote, biblical definition of a family. Gay rights supporters are encouraging same-sex couples to show up at Chick-fil-A restaurants on Friday to kiss each other. News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Curtis F. Nelson, age 88, of Atlantic, died Saturday at his home. Funeral services for Curtis Nelson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Vern W. Jensen, age 91, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Vern Jensen will be held Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Mary Ann Fazer, age 93, of Erling, died Sunday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home. Funeral services for Mary Ann Fazer will be held on Friday at 10 o'clock at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Rita Mary Kramer Clucky, age 86, of Cascade and formerly of Defiance, died Sunday in Cascade. Funeral services for Rita Clucky will be Friday at 10:30 at St. Matthias Parish in Cascade. The Rife Funeral Home in Cascade is in charge of the arrangements. Joseph B. Dimmig, age 86, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Joseph Dimmig will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Donna Ruddy Walp, age 70, of Audubon and formerly of Marble, North Carolina, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Donna Walp will be Saturday at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Velda Cole, age 94, of Greenfield, died August 23rd in Austin, Minnesota. Memorial services for Velda Cole will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Lona Fleming, age 81, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Lona Fleming will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Harold Adamson, age 102, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Harold Adamson are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Eldon Lundy, age 80, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at his home. Services for Eldon Lundy are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN, brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.